السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أشرف الأنبياء سيد المرسلين نبينا حبيبنا شفيعنا قرة أعيننا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، welcome everyone to our fifth session of the Hanafi Essentials. Last week in session four, we covered the doctrines related to the hereafter, Iman, al-Imanu biyomil. Yom al-Akhir, Iman in the last day, or belief in the last day, and what that entails. So we covered the doctrine of resurrection, bodily resurrection. We covered all the post-mortem events that will take place, such as the actions being weighed on a scale, the bridge that needs to be traversed or crossed that leads to one's destination, the existence of heaven and hell, you know, and everyone's destination that they'll be heading to in Yom Qiyamah. And so these are some of the things we covered last week. Today we're going to cover belief in Al-Qadr. We'll be going over that. And that, going after concluding this will finish or conclude, once we cover today's article of faith, that will conclude the creedal section of this book, Absolute Essentials. And let me just begin by reading. But before I do that, I want to open up to any questions anyone might have from last week's lesson before I share these slides. I have to apologize, for some reason I've not been able to shrug off a very sore throat, and it's been persisting for quite some time. So I do beg your pardon. And please do excuse the croaky voice. Let's see what I can share. Share screen. Here it is. Right, everyone should be able to see that now. So, belief in destiny, bismillah. So the author writes, belief in destiny. This is to believe that good and evil, benefit or harm, determination and destiny are by Allah's knowledge, will and power, and determining. Knowledge, will, power and determining. The scholars mention that it means believing that what hit you would never have missed, and what had missed you, and what missed you would never have hit you, would never have hit. So let's unpack this very, very briefly. Now, this topic of al-qadr, al-qada wal-qadr, or al-ikhtiyar wal-jabr, some people put it as, you know, free will and compulsion. This is one of the most intractable, difficult controversies within Islamic theology. Along with the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal, along with discussions about the divine attributes, The discussion of Al-Qadr is one of the most serious, and one second, I think, the Sifat, over which a lot of ink, anger, has been spilled. And even till today, Muslims are divided quite vehemently along, they're divided vehemently because of this topic. One of the theological fault lines of this topic exists and persists until today. So Muslims, unfortunately, you know, are quite, they do harbor a sectarian approach to this mas'ala, to this issue. So in this absolute essential course, I cannot in any way begin to unpack the complexities of it, but I will just broadly give some points about the topic and some points mentioned in the commentary of the text that we've been reading. So the belief in al-qada wal-qadr often is debated or discussed from a few different angles or aspects. Or in fact, even forget that discussing it from different angles, it's often framed in a top-to-bottom way. What that means is Muslims look at the divine attributes and then see how the divine attributes is compatible with facts on the ground or realities on the ground. So in the particular case of al-qada wal-qadr, the matter, the top-down analysis, beginning from Allah Azza wa Jalla and moving down, the discussion starts with the sifat of Allah's will and knowledge, his irada and his ilm, in places where his qudra, his power, and how this ilm and irada, how this knowledge and will, if they are as they are described, i.e. if Allah can will whatever he wants to will, or if nothing happens in creation other than through his will, and if Allah knows everything in his creation, then where does this leave the notion of anything happening by choice? So if Allah wills something to happen and his will, nothing can stop his will, then whatever anything else wills or decides is going to have no impact. It's going to have nothing. There's nothing. It's going to be ineffectual. And if Allah knows everything in his creation, which he does, then his knowledge of it is going to make it happen. And so things can't be any other way other than the way Allah knows it, and other than the way Allah has willed it. So this is one framing, the top-down approach. Other issues which this relates to, and another way in which this is framed, is when we look at things that happen in the world, like evil, recently the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. May Allah Azza wa Jal make those who have lost their lives from among the martyrs, and those who are afflicted with this musibah, this misfortune, calamity, tribulation, give them strength and relief from it. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So some people say, why, you know, all this earthquake and things like that were from the qada of Allah Azza wa Jal. They were from the divine decree. They were from the divine decree. So Allah willed it to happen and knew it would happen. Nothing can stop it. Why then does He allow this to happen? You get lots of issues that come about through this topic of destiny. And the author here says, whatever it is, whatever questions come out of this issue, we have to believe that whatever is good and evil, whatever is judged to be good and evil, whatever is believed to be or established to be beneficial and harmful, all this occurs only because Allah knows it to be the case, He wills it to be the case, and He's determined it to be the case. So the commentator says, the text says in Arabic, وَقَوْلُهُ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنْ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And his statement, believing in the qadr, whether it's good and it's bad, is from Allah. يعني, meaning, آمَنْتُ بِأَنَّ الْخَيْرَ وَالشَّرَّ وَالنَّفْعَ وَالضَّرَّ وَالْقَضَاءِ وَالْقَضَاءَ وَالْقَدَرَ كَائِنٌ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَإِرَادَتِهِ وَخَلْقِهِ وَتَقْدِيرِهِ. That this means believing in the good and the bad, the good and evil, the benefit and harm, the decree and the determination, كَائِنٌ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, occurs through Allah's knowledge, His will, His creation, and His determination of all things. His determination of those things. Whoops, gone down too much there. So amantu means wasaddaqtu, to have absolute tasdiq. Remember we said tasdiq is absolute conviction. There can't be any doubt in these things. So we believe with absolute conviction that whatever is considered, whatever happens in this world, in creation, it occurs only by the will of Allah. It occurs in Allah's knowledge and His creative decree for it to happen. And this means when he says everything is through the knowledge, everything is ka'in, all affairs occurs through Allah's knowledge, will, creative power, and decree, and determination of all things. It means that qaddaraha qabla khalq al-khalq wa ahata biha ilman, that Allah has done all this before He ever created anything and made it appear in time. And the fact that His knowledge of what will occur, you know, is all encompassing. Yeah. So nothing then, no affair occurs in creation except by the will of Allah. فَلَا يَنْفُضُ أَمْرٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ تَعَالَى وَإِرَادَتِهِ. If Allah so wills it, it will be so. If Allah so wills it not to be, it will not be so. So when Allah says مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ, and verses like that, فَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ, these verses, you know, are very complex. So the belief is that whatever Allah decides and decrees for a person, no one can change that. It doesn't matter what someone tries to do, they can't change other than than what it is that Allah will know or has decreed. So his knowledge, you know, it decrees it to occur. So everything that happens in time happens by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, so not just his permission, but his knowledge, his will, which comes from his permission, comes from his will, and then his creative decree of determining all things to be so. Included under this then is one being one's worship, one's obedience, one's disobedience, one's reward, one's punishment, whatever it is that is part of one's life and one's destiny, it falls under Allah's knowledge and his decree that what he knows will come to pass. So you got here references to what this means. So what does this qada, what does this qadr mean? Allah's determining all things. So the qadr means roughly, according to the commentator here, that things have been decreed to be a certain way according to Allah's knowledge. So all things are determined to be a certain way in time, according to the way Allah has determined it to be. Yeah. So it says, إِيجَادُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الْأَشْيَاءَ عَلَى وَفْقِ مَا أَرَادَهُ تَعَالَى وَكُلُّهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So it's Allah's bringing about of all things in creation according to his will. Yeah. Another way of putting it is that Allah's determining or deciding beforehand, making something be the case beforehand, whether in its essence or qualities or states or conditions, whatever it might be. طبق ما سبق به العلم. It's in accordance with Allah's prior knowledge of everything. So Qadr can also mean that Allah Azza wa Jal knows the determinations of all things, i.e. how all things will be, how they will end up, what they have in terms of qualities, what they don't have, everything related to anything. All the things, the limits, the determinations of all things, Allah knows them. Yeah? So that's what Qadr means. And Qadr is Allah's will applied to things in creation, connected to things in creation, and in order to maintain them as they are. So Allah's decree, decision, Allah's hukum, Allah's volitional decree from his will, from beforehand, connected to things in time, according to things to remain as they are. This is the qada. In general, how some authors have explained what qada means. So, but, how is it that Allah decrees all things beforehand and keeps them in being? And how is it that Allah causes all things to happen in creation with his knowledge prior to anything ever happening? How Allah has determine the maqadir, the exact natures and properties and destiny of all things beforehand, according to his knowledge, all that we don't know how that is the case. And we can never know how that is the case. We can never know how that is the case. How does an omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful being determine everything in creation before he created it? Is not a matter the intellect can grasp. It's not a matter the intellect can grasp. So the question then becomes is, should a Muslim start from the divine attributes to understand the issue of al-qada wal-qadr? Should he start from the divine attributes to understand the mas'alatul qada wal-qadr? Should he even delve into the matters of al-qada wal-qadr? Should he try and understand how it is that Allah has decreed all things and determined all things beforehand? He decreed all things to happen with his knowledge, according to his knowledge, and determined all things in the world to function as they do, to be what they are, and to have the qualities that they do, according to his knowledge. And all this entails, according to the Sunni tradition, that we have free will as well. Things happen according to choice. Can we ever know how these two, if we're going to take that angle, how these two can be reconciled? So there's a narration about Sayyidina Ali, karramallahu wajhu, radiyallahu an. He says that وقد سأل سائل إمام علي رضي الله تعالى عنه عن القضاء والقدر. القضاء, Allah's decree connected to all things in creation before they were created, according to his knowledge, his decision of how they will be and how they will remain on what they are, the kind of objects that they are, and Allah's qadr, his determination of all destiny, the destiny of all things, and how things are, the essences and qualities and states and stations and properties, whatever it might be. He was asked about al-qada wal-qadr. فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ. He just turned away from answering, refused to answer about how it is that أَنْ تَعْلَمَ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبُكَ. So how is it that whatever was going to hit you was going to hit you? It couldn't have missed. And whatever was going to miss you was going to miss you. It couldn't have hit you. He was asked about that because this is a matter of al-qada wal-qadr. فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ. He refused. ثُمَّ سَأَلَهُ. So the man asked him again. فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ. He turned away and refused to answer that question. إلى أن سأله الرابعة فأقبل عليه. So when asked a fourth time, he turned to the man and he said, فقال لما خلق الله تعالى خلقك كيف يشاء أم كيف تشاء. When Allah created creation, or when Allah created you, he wanted it to be, or according to how he wished it to be, أم كيف تشاء, or according to how you willed it to be. فَقَالَ بَلْ كَيْفَ يَشَاء. The man said, no, of course not. It's Allah did it according to his desire and will. Sayyidina Ali says, رضي الله عن, فَيُحْيِيكَ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ أَمْ كَيْفَ تَشَاء. Did he bring you alive? Did he give you life according to how he willed or how you will? The man replied, بَلْ كَيْفَ يَشَاء. No, according to how he will. فَيَبَعَثُكَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءَ أَمْ كَيْفَ تَشَاءَ. Will he raise you on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ according to his will or your will? قَالَ بَلْ كَيْفَ يَشَاءَ. فقال يحاسبك كيف يشاء أم كيف تشاء. Will he bring you to account, hold you accountable for your deeds on يوم القيامة according to his will or your will? قال بل كيف يشاء. سيدنا علي replies, اذهب فليس لك من الأمر شيء. Just get out from here. You got nothing that you can do is related to this affair. But whatsoever. In anything that's happened. Or anything that happens. So. So in essence, human beings don't really have much sphere in which they have any control to do any, to they have control to do anything. There's so much that occurs outside their control without their will having any input. Now, when the text says بالقدر خيره وشره من الله تعالى, believing in Allah's determination of all things before creation, i.e. the destiny of all things, the good and the evil, or the bad, it's good and it's bad, the judgment of something being good and bad may not be actually good or bad. It just may be how the our nature, how something might agree with our nature or not agree with our nature, or something that agrees with our nafs or doesn't agree with our nafs. It agrees with our subjective evaluations of what we think is good or bad. So anything that our nature doesn't like pain, we will judge to be bad. Anything that our nature likes to be, feels is good, we judge it. Finds pleasurable, we judge it to be good. But whether they are actually good or bad, just because we've judged it to be good or bad, that's a different matter. We might think something is good. Actually, it's not. It turns out not to be good simply because it agreed with our subjective preferences. Something may be bad because it agrees with our subjective preferences and feelings and we all inclinations and things like that. But in actual fact, it is good for us. So there is that aspect to al-qada wal-qadr. But we have to believe that everything that occurs in creation, whether it's judged to be good or bad, is from Allah Azza wa Jalla's will, His knowledge and power. So nothing occurs outside of creation, outside of the will, mashia, the ilm of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we have to believe that everything that occurs that agrees with human nature, that we judge to be good and pleasurable, that we judge to be pleasurable and therefore judge to be good, anything that we judge to be not in agreement with our nature, which we then judge to be evil, may not be so. But nevertheless, whatever we judge it to be, irrespective of what we judge it to be, it's all from the knowledge, the will, and the determination of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, the last matter that connects to the issue of al-qada wal-qadr, that is not the last matter, but the major matter, the defining matter, is the actions of free actions, af'al ikhtiyariyah, actions that are done by choice. So Allah Azza wa Jal will judge individuals for their actions. So if the actions are good, they're based on worship of Allah, then they'll be rewarded. If they're bad and they're in contravention of the Sharia of Allah, then There will be sanction. Now, often the way human freedom, creaturely freedom, has been interpreted in the Sunni scholarly tradition is that human beings are said not to create their actions themselves. They're the doer of their actions, but they don't really make their actions. They're not the source of their actions as such. Allah Azza wa Jal is the source of the actions because He creates it for the human being. Now, the human being on this model, known as the Kasb model, are human beings, if they will to do an act, let's say I will to raise my arm, I don't have the power to raise my arm. I don't have the power to raise my arm. I have no capacity to do it. So what Allah Azza wa Jal does, according to this model, is that if I want to raise my hand, when I make an act of will, I decide to raise my hand, Allah gives me the power to raise my hand by connecting my will and the act together. So Allah does everything, and the only thing that I'm left to do is to just will to do the act. My mere act of the will is sufficient for me to be held morally accountable. I can't create my action, so I'm not held morally accountable for that, for not creating my act. I will be held morally accountable for willing to do some evil. All Allah does is Allah enables me to do what I have willed. So when I have an azm, a determination to do something, an act of will, Allah then creates the act for me. So if I want to choose to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, do an obedient act, I will it, and then Allah will then create the act for me. Allah will create that fi'l al-ta'a at that point, the act of worship at that point. And what I have done in that instance is I have what they call acquired the act. I have become the one who has gained the act from Allah creating it for me in accordance with what I desire. So it is like as though I'm the mujidul fi'l. It's like the one, it's as if I brought it out myself. It's as if I did the action myself. When in actual fact, I'm not the mujid al-fi'l, Allah is the one who actually brought about the act. But the problem then becomes is, what about my act of will? Is that not also something created? Isn't that a shaykh makhluq? Or isn't that a fi'l makhluq? So my act, my willing to do something, isn't that also an act of Allah's creation? If it is, then we're back to the issue of Allah creating not only my act, physical act itself in time, but also my act of will is created by Allah Azza wa Jalla. So, so we're back to this issue of whether our actions are free, given Allah's determination of all things and decree of all things beforehand. So if Allah creates the act that we will to do, that we desire to do, He creates it for us. He creates all the circumstances for us. He connects the power to do the act to the act itself for us. Allah doing all that, then when I go ahead and do the action, وَيُسَمَّ ذَلِكَ الْعَمَلْ إِخْتِيَارِيًا. This kind of act is then called something done by choice. Why? لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَلَقَهُ فِيهِ بَعْدَ إِخْتِيَارِ الْعَبْدِ لَهُ. Now, just to finish off this matter on al-qada wal-qadr, should we think of al-qada wal-qadr as related to the divine attribute? Should we frame it in that way? What if we take, should the matter of al-qada wal-qadr fall into the discussion about the sifat of Allah? Is that how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam teach al-qada wal-qadr from that kind of perspective, like from the perspective of looking and analyzing the divine attributes? It seems to be that he didn't. He didn't delve into the metaphysical details of the divine attributes to explain al-qada wal-qadr. This seems to be something the mutakallimun, the scholars of kalam, began to do. They started to discuss Allah's attributes from the top down, from starting with divine attributes and then trying to understand how human free will can fit in the divine attributes, how they can be compatible with the divine attributes. So we need to think about whether in truly al-qada wal-qadr, according to the Sahaba's understanding, involved analyzing divine attributes in the way that we do in philosophy and theology, or whether it's something we believe in, and we know that human beings have free will without the need to invoke Allah's attributes. So for example, if we look to the world and we study creation, we can see that things happen beyond our control. We don't have any control over these events, like those earthquakes, just the earthquakes that occurred in Turkey and in Syria. These are events beyond the control of anyone. No one can stop it, and no one can prevent, even through prediction, prevent these earthquakes from creating havoc and these situations that we see now, as towns destroyed, families destroyed. It's nearly 20,000 casualties from this. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us all and relieve us from our suffering. So we can clearly understand from studying the reality that things occur that we just don't have control over. And then there are areas which we do exert some kind of choice or free will, or we exercise some kind of choice. That's very small, because much of what happens in the world is beyond our control. But there is a small sphere or arena or area in which we can make interventions or choices that can impact others, whether ourselves first or others. There's also, when we also look at creation, we can see that things have qualities and characteristics that are fixed and put there by Allah. You know, water, fire, these have qualities that nobody can change. Only Allah can change them. But they're fixed, they have a nature, they have qualities. So we can see from the reality that things have a nature and they have qualities and they're fixed. And they're unchanging, other things are changing. There are areas where we have no control of what happens to us, a little sphere of area, a little area where we have a sphere of control through our choices. Does understanding al-qada wal-qadr in this way, divorce from the divine attributes, is that a more beneficial way to look at al-qada wal-qadr? We might need to think about that. Is all the discussions necessary? Because at the end of the day, all we're expected to believe in is that we have moral accountability for our actions. And that entails that we are free to make those choices. And so, if we are genuinely free to make those choices, then irrespective of how Allah knows, or whether He knows, and how He knows, and from when He knew, that has no real life impact, action or not. So when we wake up in the morning, Does anyone feel compelled by Allah's knowledge and will? Do they feel like they're being tugged and pulled out of bed? I mean, we know when we're being forced to do something against our wishes or will. If you've ever been tied up and then pulled and you want to set yourself free, you know when you're being pulled along. You know when you're being pushed. You know when you're being forced to do something you have no choice. That feeling is different from doing something where you know you have choice. You genuinely feel that experience of choosing. Now, does Allah's ilm have any impact on whether you're able to choose or not? Not really, right? How he knows what we're going to choose, in what way, this has no relevance on whether you're actually going to make a choice and do something in accordance with what Allah has commanded or against what Allah has commanded. So long as that's the case, then we have free will and we're going to be held accountable for it. We're going to be held accountable for it. So I guess what I'm trying to say is this mas'ala of al-qada wal-qadr, could it be looked at from purely just a rational angle, an empirical angle, where we don't bring in the divine attributes, like what the scholars of Kalam did? So on this idea of al-qada wal-qadr, where the divine attributes is not relevant here, if we take that kind of understanding, where there's no, it's got nothing, al-qada wal-qadr has got nothing to do with whether Allah knows what we're going to do or not do, which he does, or whether Allah's will allows us to do something or not allow us to do something, it does. Whether Allah has determined all things to be according to his knowledge and creative decree and power, whether that too is not in question. But these have actually our sensation of whether we have free will and whether events are outside our control, or whether we see things being fixed in nature. So the mas'alatul qada wal-qadr may not actually necessarily have to be involved or discussed or framed with this high metaphysics or high theology. So those are some of the aspects related to al-qada wal-qadr. So according to this text, qadr is the way Allah has determined the destiny of all things and the direction of all things towards their end. The maqadir al-ashya, the measurement of all things, the destination of all things, the quality of all things, the properties of all things, the nature of all things. These have been determined by Allah from before he created the world. And they are going to head towards the direction in which they have been predetermined. And al-qada is Allah, as according to this sort of commentator and this sort of tradition of theology, Sunni theology, the qada of Allah is Allah's will connected to things, Allah's will in pre-eternity connected to things in time, according to how they are and how they will and how he wants to keep them that way. And so these are the general sort of meanings of al-qada wal-qadr. And then you've got what are linked to al-qada wal-qadr. What's linked to it is issues of good and evil, how we judge things to be good and bad, and why Allah allows them to happen. And are they part of his qada and qadr? Are they part of his decree and predestination of things? And Muslims believe it is. How it is, we don't know. And lastly, the matter of ikhtiyar, af'al al-ikhtiyariya, the matter of free actions, that's connected to al-qada wal-qadr as well. Some look at it as though if Allah knows everything, then where is there room for free will? And if Allah has determined everything to happen, including our will and actions, and where does that leave us with free will? But some people responded by saying we're free because the act of our will connected to doing something is the most important thing. That is kafin li taklif, that is sufficient for us to be morally accountable. We are not going to be accountable for doing the action itself, because we didn't create the action. Allah created it, and Allah created us in us the capacity to do the action. We are only going to be judged on whether we wanted to do it and resolutely or not. So moral accountability is tied to the act of will. And then finally, I mentioned whether al-qadha wal-qadr, the issue itself, should be framed through a top to bottom framing, which involves discussing it according to the lens of divine attributes, or whether al-qadha wal-qadr should be divorced from any discussion about divine attributes of ilm, irada, mashi'a, all these kind of things, just looked at purely from a rational angle, i.e. whether we have choice or not can be rationally proven by the fact that we all deep down know when we're making a choice to do something or when we're forced. That is all we need to know to establish that we have free will. And do we have the choice to act according to a certain law or standard, or whether we have the capacity to act against a law, the same law and standard, i.e. the Sharia. And from the reality we do. Are there things that are beyond our control that occur in the world? Yes. Are we going to be judged for them? No. But this discussion is not linked to the sifat. It's not framed through the sifat. It's just looking at it from a really sort of rational angle, empirical angle. Do we do actions? Yes, we do. Are the actions created or not? It's irrelevant here. Are they actions that are known by Allah before we do it, and therefore we're not free? It's irrelevant. Are the actions in accordance with the will of Allah, and therefore we can't do otherwise than we do? That's irrelevant. All that's relevant is, can we do things other than the way we do them? We do. Whether it's how and Allah knows we do it, or He helps us in doing it, is a different matter. Maybe that shouldn't be brought into the matter or the mas'ala of al-qadha wal-qadr. Okay, I'll end it there. And I've been rambling on for quite a bit. There's lots to unpack there, and it's sort of I've tried to make it in a simple, maybe a sloppy way. I'll send the handout as well. I think there's a area where I can upload documents. I'll be doing that. So I'll end it there. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam ajma'een. If there's any questions or comments, please feel free to raise them. It's a difficult topic. We just gave one sort of snippet of the whole discussion. Al-Qadha wal-Qadr is one of the areas in which, you know, I academically write. And so, you know, I've thought about it. I've thought about other people's thinking about it. And I explore myself areas related to the issue of Al-Qadha wal-Qadr. Okay, I'll let people reflect then on what we've discussed today. Hopefully you watch it through the recording. I'll be posting a handout for it. I didn't post it while I was talking today. I'll get that sent to you so you can have a read of it. I'll also post some primary and secondary literature that you could read yourself. Maybe you've read them before and found them beneficial, or maybe you haven't. I'll be doing that, inshallah ta'ala. If there's no further questions, then until our next session, نراكم على خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.